Hey, this is Mike Zwick from If Not For God podcast, our show, Stories of Hopelessness Turned into Hope. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
The following program contains sensitive content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue, a ministry program dedicated to bringing light into the darkness of human trafficking. It's time to light the way to freedom. This is Lantern Rescue. We tell the stories, we talk about rescues, and we empower you to do something about it. William Wilberforce once said, "Let it not be said I was silent when they needed me." This is Lantern Rescue.
Welcome to Lantern Rescue. How exciting today. We got an update coming from both Ren and Gabby with us on. So, Ren, I know there's a lot going on, not necessarily all that much you can talk about at this point, though, right?
Yeah, we have a ton going on. We want to share some updates, some like quick updates. And what it kind of looks like to be in the Lantern team is sometimes you'll get a text in the middle of the night. You'll send out a group chat that's like, hey, this rescue just happened. Hey, this raid just happened. This amazing thing happened. But in the initial phases of that, often details are sparse as we go through the investigation. But we want to share some of that stuff with you guys, with the rest of the Lantern family that tunes in and listens. We want to share with you guys those quick updates that we have this week. And in the future, it'll be kind of a to be continued. In the future, we're going to give you guys more details on these cases. But right now, we're going to give you the information that we have and that we're able to share while the investigations are still ongoing. But yeah, we're happy to share some stuff with you this week.
That is awesome. And same with you, right, Gabby?
Yes. You know, it's just been an exciting year so far. There's been a lot going on, and we're looking at a lot of new opportunities, even just inside the organization. So not much we can talk about now, but like, I know so many people have been asking about volunteering and how to support and new ways to further awareness and education, and I'm excited to see what comes of this year.
Awesome. So Ren, from your standpoint, what do you see as one of the opportunities our listeners would be able to kind of push into with prayer? I know you can't talk about cases while you're in the midst of them, but obviously you know what's actually going on.
Yeah, so definitely, I think that this year, you know, we're not that far into it. We're only 3 months in, almost quarter of the way through. But this year has been unprecedented with spiritual warfare. I think, I don't know what you've been seeing, Robbie. Gabby, I know you've seen some of it too. It's been really heavy lately in a lot of aspects in the world, in our work and other work. And I've seen this a lot in my personal life and other people's lives and the work that we're doing. It feels like attacks are really heavy and pretty frequent lately, spiritually. So, you know, I just pray that everyone stands together as a community, as Christians, and really focuses on each other this year. And that does include, obviously, the victims and the people that we're trying to get to overseas, but also our operators, those prayer warriors that we have, people that are involved, our operators' families, the staff here at Lantern Rescue, all of that. You know, that stuff's very real. It's very present. And I think we're going to be hopefully doing a whole episode on some of the spiritual warfare here coming up. But it's very real. It's very present. And I felt it especially heavy this year.
Oh, I would have to say that would be an understatement,
Ren. Right? Yeah.
Based on what I've experienced on my end of Lantern Rescue and the things that are connected with it, so I couldn't agree that our listeners. Oh man, you guys really are under some severe attacks spiritually. I'm not talking about the other stuff, but I'm talking about they really want to get you out. And so, right, your families and what's going on with you as individuals is a huge thing, because if he can take you guys out, right, and he sets everything back quite a ways.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's, you know, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't affecting all of us as individuals, but we are, one thing that we do have within the team is we are very close-knit, and we are able to reach out to each other, and that is such a blessing. So even in the midst of some of the struggles that we've all had recently, we've been able to lean on each other. And, you know, unfortunately for the enemy, it's only strengthened us. It's only made us stronger and really bond in ways that we wouldn't have had the opportunity to without such vicious and violent attacks. So while they're not fun to experience, the result on the other end is also really glorifying, and it shows our strength as in our faith and as a team.
Oh, and I've
seen... Absolutely, just pushes you closer to the mission when you go through that together.
Yeah, I've seen that as well, you know, with TC and Alan and you guys. It's just, it really does seem like I've never seen you so much on the mission and seem to have the priorities right there where God wants them.
Yeah, absolutely. The team is incredible. TC, Alan, Jay, Gabby, everybody that's involved, just super incredible. And yeah, we're hyper-focused on the mission, and nothing's going to deter us from that.
Right, and you had said there's something about Rosa you wanted to talk about. So
So let's talk about Rosa super quick, and then I'm going to give you guys some of those quick, like, we'll call them flash updates. I just came up with that, so hopefully that
I like
works.
It.
But flash updates. So Rosa. So you guys have heard a lot about Rosa over the past 2-ish years, and she is one of the survivors from Operation Catalea down in the Dominican Republic. That has been repatriated to her home country, and she has a salon. That's who we're talking about today. She's doing really well, for anyone that's curious. Her son is doing fantastic. The life that she's building back home is really amazing, and she's even taking steps to help other survivors. And I know she has been in her salon and helping to prevent victimization, but she's going a step further, and she's actively getting involved in a very safe way in prevention and in awareness, and talking to government officials and talking to police and really engaging in her community on ways to prevent this, as well as highlighting to us things that victimized her, like things that were present in her community and her life that created a vacuum that allowed for, and again, it was not her fault that she was trafficked. That's not what I'm saying. But we know that vulnerabilities can increase the potential for someone to be trafficked. So she has highlighted to us some of those vulnerabilities of herself and how she got there, as well as those around her and in her community, and also how the traffickers are using those to optimize on that and to victimize them, and the types of advertisements that traffickers are using to get victims trapped into this. So it really highlights a lot there. One, that recovery is not a straight line, and recovery looks very different for everyone. Rosa's recovery hasn't always been, and it won't be for any survivor, it's not always been easy. But she's been incredibly brave and strong through it. And her, something that's really strengthening her is showing us how to prevent it. Now, that's not the same for every survivor. Some survivors never want to talk about it again, and that's 100% okay as well. But for her, she's finding a lot of healing in discussing that with us and processing through it in that way. And it really does show how important it is to keep, as much as survivors want to be engaged, obviously you don't ever want to force them to discuss this stuff, but if she brings that stuff to us, we never press her for it. It comes in completely through her, but to keep them engaged and to listen to them and really understand that is how we're going to help change this, and how we're going to shift the culture and the talking around this, and how we're actually going to make an impact is through her and not through our Western lens of what we think is right and what we think they need. Let them tell us and let them walk us through it.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, because it's almost like 2 Corinthians chapter 1 coming to life. As you know, God comforts us that we might comfort others with the comfort that we were comforted with. In other words, who knows better than her what the future victims may need to keep them from being vulnerable, especially in her culture, especially in people in her people group, right? That you know, she's uniquely gifted, you know, in having gotten on the recovery trail to help other people in her culture recover. And what a neat thing that God has used that leverage, you know, to help a lot of folks. And you could do that, obviously, with other situations now that Rosa's kind of pushed away, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I love your ability to quote scripture like that, Robbie. I super envy it. The one that I refer to, and it's actually on the plaque that I gifted Rosa with last year for her grand opening of her salon, is Genesis 50:20, what you meant for evil, God meant for good, and to save many people. And she is really living that out. What the traffickers meant for this evil thing, she's using against them. She's using what they did to her and how they victimized her, and she's using it to prevent that from happening to other people in her situation.
Yeah, it's just a beautiful story, and, you know, it's just one that, you know, I know it's just like, man, And the idea of duplicating that and realizing what God's done with it, it's just, it's beautiful. So you've got some rapid fire stuff for us, right?
Yeah, I do. So one of the cases is slightly older, but there's been a recent development in it that I want to highlight. So one of the things we talk about is a little darker, and we don't talk about it all that often, but it is the organ trafficking and organ harvesting. A couple months ago, we had a tip in one of our African countries that organ harvesting was happening pretty heavily in a certain community. So we sent someone down and had an investigation going. During that investigation, one of our lantern rescue investigators, one of our operators, a local in that area, he's from this country, he needed more time in the hospital to be able to investigate this crime. And he didn't want to raise any suspicions in that. So what he did is incredible, and it's such a hero move that I hope that I have the strength to do this someday. He's a diabetic, so he stopped taking his diabetes medication, which I assume is insulin, so that he would be hospitalized and have a reason to be in there talking to the doctor without raising suspicion. And that the result of that was the rescue of a child, of a minor, very young, under 10. I don't want to disclose exact, you know, statistics on him right now, but an under 10-year-old child, male, that was being trafficked for his organs. He was rescued from his willingness to do that and to risk his own life. And I'm not saying that that's what everyone has to do, but I do think that's amazing. I think that's quite a heroic move.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow. But it also shows, you know, the heart of, you know, somebody in their own country, you know, that's the beautiful thing I love about what Lantern Rescue does is, you know, there you have somebody that is part of that country that you guys are training and connecting with, that, you know, you give them the technology and the ability to make an impact. It's amazing what God does with that.
Yeah. So really incredible, move there. Gabby, what were your thoughts on that? I know I sent you that update. What did you think when you saw that?
I thought it was incredible. And for me, it's like, there's so much that goes on, you know, like when you're in America working for an organization like this, it's so easy to feel like disconnected from the mission some days. Like you hear stories and updates and like that motivates you, but it's hard to see some of the realities that we are faced with and like, you know, can kind of feel overwhelmed. And when I hear things like that, it just inspires me all over again, because someone like that is that dedicated. It does not matter what I am doing. If I can play even the smallest part in supporting someone that has the ability and access to do something like that, you know, like, why would I not? Like, it is incredibly inspiring, I know, to, like, even our internal team, so.
Wow. Well, we got to go to a break, so we want to just remind you that it's lanternrescue.org, where you can get hooked up to be part of their prayer team, find out how to donate, all sorts of neat stuff. There is lanternrescue.org. We're going to be right back with a whole lot more, including some on artificial intelligence. Like, whoa, you wouldn't believe how the bad guys are using it. We'll be right back.
Lantern Rescue is a USA-based organization that conducts international rescue operations for people suffering from human trafficking. Lantern specializes in sending former U.S. Special Operation, law enforcement, and intelligence personnel to partner with host nations and assist them in creating specialized units to combat ongoing security problems, such as genocide, terrorism, and human trafficking. As a nonprofit charity, they offer services free of charge to their host nations. Human trafficking has grown into the second largest criminal activity in the world, reaching an estimated $150 billion in annual activity. Lantern Rescue has developed rapidly to combat trafficking. Lantern operates through a trained international network in order to rescue women and children from sex and labor slavery, and facilitates holistic aftercare services. They're gearing up for operations right now, and you can go to lanternrescue.org to see how you can support them financially.
Well, welcome back to Lantern Rescue, and today we got one more rapid fire update, and then as promised, we're going to get into the whole artificial intelligence or AI. And so, Ren, what's the next update?
Yeah, so this one, you know, before I get into this one, I will say that sometimes these investigations take a really long time, and we'll know that a raid's going to happen for like months, and sometimes the dates change, and sometimes, you know. So, and I would be lying if I said that didn't kind of frustrate you sometimes, you know, like me personally, when I know like a raid's supposed to happen and the date changes or something like that, and you know that a victim's going to have to spend another day in captivity. That's really frustrating. And it's never for a bad reason. It's always because of a safety concern or there's something going on that it's never just because we didn't feel like it. So in the midst of that, there's been a lot of operations that have been delayed recently. And that got frustrating. But, you know, God always provides. In the midst of that, we had a kind of a last minute case that we weren't even investigating, we didn't even know about, that resulted in the raid and rescue of 10 total victims of sex trafficking. And I'm just going to give some really brief details about it because it's still under investigation. Everyone's arrested and rescued, but you know, the trial is still upcoming, so we're going to be cautious of that. This happened overseas. This happened in one of our Caribbean countries. And what essentially happened is back in 2022, a young girl, went to visit a friend, and she was never heard of again. So her family put out a missing persons request, and they just didn't find her. They looked, and no one found her. So this is almost 2 years ago. Well, a few days before this raid happened, the prosecutor in a district down in this country got a tip that someone might know where she's at. After 2 years of not finding her, someone might know where she's at. So the team got the warrant immediately. They went in and did the raid, and they not only did they find her, they found her infant son. She had a child while she was in captivity, and 8 other victims that were being sold in sex trafficking. They were being held at a brothel, and they were being forced to work and be sex trafficking victims. And these ranged from young minor children, minor boys, minor girls. So she has been reunited with her family, and her family has now they have a grandson. Her parents have this grandson now, which is a blessing. So it's moments like that where you get frustrated by the length it takes and sometimes the time it takes to have investigations happen, and then you get this gift to be able to impact these lives and find someone that people had thought was gone forever. And which, as we know, often trafficking is not a kidnapping case. It's still under investigation whether this was a kidnapping or more of a Romeo solicitation enticed into a trafficking ring. And we'll update you guys on that as we get more details. So I'm not going to say it's one way or the other right now. But what an incredible thing to happen to get these 10 victims out within hours. Finding out that they were there, that they might be there, to their rescue was, you know, a matter of 24 hours. So that's really incredible.
I love the way you contrasted that to the, here's the one over here we've known about, we can't, but all of a sudden this window opens up, that God opens up over here, and this poor woman, nobody has an idea where she is, and never wasn't a whole lot of hope. Next thing you know, it opens up a door in 10. Unbelievable. Yeah. Not to mention what would have happened to that poor child had it stayed in that group too, right?
That's right, yeah. Because he was an infant at the time. He's not an infant. This was very recent. He's an infant, but there was very young minor boys being trafficked by this ring. So it was just a matter of time before he also joined those that were being trafficked.
Wow. So artificial intelligence, the bad guys have a hold of it too, right?
Yeah, so artificial intelligence. What a concept. And I'm not the most tech-savvy or the most savvy with that kind of stuff, but I know just enough to know how dangerous this is going to be, and I'm sure all of our listeners share at least that. I'm sure we have some that are more educated in this, but there's a lot of stuff that's on the docket to potentially develop in the law across the country in regards to AI. But something, you know, we hear about these celebrity deep fakes and people making fake images of, I don't even know, we'll make up an example of like Drew Barrymore stealing a soda, I don't know, something dumb that it genuinely looks like the celebrity, sounds like celebrity, moves like celebrity, stuff like that. And that kind of stuff is mostly benign, right? It's just silly. But one of the dangers of it, and what we've already seen and what's already began happening, is pedophiles creating AI, artificial intelligence generated images of CSAM, of child sexual abuse material. You know, we call it, that's what used to be known as child pornography if you're a new listener to the podcast. So that brings up a lot of ethical problems around that. And there's other issues that we can get into as well. But AI generated CSAM, right? So now it really isn't a kid. There is no technical victim in this, but the people that these images are being sent to don't know that. They are led to believe that this is a child somewhere that is being abused for their pleasure, and that this is true child pornography with a child living victim on the other end. So it brings up a lot of ethical questions. From a legal perspective, if you believe it is child pornography, that is, from my thoughts anyways, that would be the same thing as if it were. Similar to, like, if you were pretending to sell marijuana and it was actually oregano, but the person buying it thought you were selling them marijuana. It's kind of a similar concept, right? But it does bring up a lot of ethical questions. What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Gabby?
So I want to slow down and just say what a deepfake is for anybody that doesn't know. A deepfake is essentially like a pornographic image or video that can be made with someone else's face. So you can take that person's face, a celebrity or someone else, and replace that face in that image or video. And so if you've watched the videos, you've definitely heard about celebrity deepfakes. And you've also probably heard about some like peer-on-peer bullying that's happening with AI, where they can take other peers' images and put it into an AI tool and make inappropriate content or bullying content and hurt other students and peers around them. And AI is growing rapidly, and, you know, it's not all bad. It has a lot of potential to be used for good as well, but it's also becoming accessible. And, you know, that is worrisome, because as more people are learning how to utilize AI, and it's on every app now. Like, you can go into Canva and make AI images, like, within 2 minutes. Of whatever you want. As that develops, it is going to be harder. And I think just hearing so much from people in this world, how amazing the AI images are, like, it is becoming more and more difficult to tell what is AI and what is not AI. If you haven't seen that, you can absolutely go look it up. There's people who will create AI images just to show you the contrast of how incredible it is. And then you take that and you put a child in the worst case scenarios in that, and it should be from us all. Not only can they do that with just made up children, but they can do that with pictures of children that they can find on the internet that are not inappropriate content, that are kids doing innocent things, and can be made to be much, much worse.
Yeah, so when you get into the ethical and moral stuff, Ren, my immediate, you know, I love the question, because I never had really just sat there and considered it. But as I sit here and consider it, I believe in my heart that from God's perspective, the people that are trafficking in it are definitely causing people to sin. In other words, they're trying to entrap people in their own evil desires, which again enslaves them into their own sin. And the fruit of that will clearly be immoral behavior. In other words, when people get all revved up on pornography, we know what happens. You know, eventually there's going to be a real victim involved, and it's going to be horrible. It's going to be horrible on their family. It's going to be horrible on them. It's horrible. And so, you know, they're clearly victims. If somebody is creating that kind of thing, they're all kind of victims getting ready to be taken advantage of. And so there's no doubt in my mind whatsoever that it's terribly, terribly immoral. And clearly, it's up to legislatures to figure out a way to create laws around it, because it really is a horrible thing.
Yeah, I completely agree. And there is a correlation between viewing these images, CSAM, and having physical contact with an actual physical victim. There's absolutely a correlation, and I don't think that correlation would be changed in any way if those images were AI generated or actually a child being harmed images. And you're completely right. These people that are creating these images and that are doing these horrific things, they're not doing this in a benign way. They're not in their minds thinking, wow, if I make these images, it'll prevent a kid from being victimized. Like, that is not the intent of these people behind this. It is to profit, most likely, but also, to exacerbate this crime, to encourage this deviation from the norm of wanting to harm children, of sexualizing children. So there is no good, in my mind, that can come out of these images. And yeah, as it happens often with technology, the law has to catch up, and it will. I don't doubt that. I really do believe that it will. I think that this will be a very hot button topic moving forward, and it's going to be something we all have to wrestle with, but it's extremely important.
Yeah, and I think for our listeners, you know, it's right on target of what we can be praying for. God protect us. God put this on the heart of legislators. And how else would you suggest him to pray, Wren?
Yeah, so that's definitely one thing. And, you know, it's really hard with how to pray for this. I mean, just praying in general. With this in your mind, God will figure out what to do with that. But when it comes to the people that are creating these images, I think that's something that we need to also be mindful in prayers, is they're battling demons that we can't, I hope that we don't ever have to understand, or that we don't have to grapple with in our own lives. So keeping that in mind, and that they are still people, and hoping for their salvation as well, is always something I try to be mindful of.
Yeah, that's exactly the case. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. Gabby, have you got any last thoughts before we close?
I'm just thankful for each of you that are listening along with us. I know some of you have listened from the very beginning, and we really, really appreciate all the support you give us. I definitely am excited to see our prayer community grow. So if you're interested in joining that, please go to the website that Robbie mentioned before, but it's LanternRescue.org. And there is a text to pray option. You can sign up and, you know, just kind of join along with us as we have updates.
Wonderful, wonderful. Wren?
Yeah, you know, I would definitely echo that sentiment. It's amazing to see how many people still tune into the podcast and have been listening from the beginning, and how that podcast and broadcast audience of ours has grown, and the interactions that we see from you guys, the requests that you send in on social media and on email. You're always welcome to reach out to us on that. It's really powerful for us to connect with you guys and know that you're not alone in this. If this has been put on your heart, we're here with you. We're a community with you. And it is really supportive for us too. It's really nice for us to know that you're all out there, and that you guys care, and that you see them. You see these victims as valuable as we do.
Wonderful, wonderful. Again, thank you so much, and thank you so much for listening. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
God bless.
Thanks.
This is the Truth Network.